Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Welcome to a very special edition of Inside Florida Racing as we go Thursday night to DeSoto Speedway. It's a Thursday night Thunder edition as we go and prepare for the Florida 400 at DeSoto Super Speedway. Took a little ride out to the track to some of the practice. Got a chance to talk to some of the drivers. Wow, there was about 14 cars getting some lap times in, and very few of those were the pre-registered cars. So it's going to be interesting to see who turns up for tomorrow's qualifying on Friday. And then Saturday night, the big one, the 400-lap event at DeSoto Speedway's 3/8 banked track. And we will also look forward to seeing pit stops, as it sounds like it'll take a minimum of two, and several teams have planned three pit stop strategies, so we'll see who works out the best. First person I ran into walking down the pit lane was a young man a lot of folks will know from across the country. His name is Russ Gamester, and he took time to talk to us.
Standing here in the pits with DeSoto Speedway, Russ Gamester, trying to get the 46 hooked up out of Peru, Indiana. Russ, how's it feel to get down south a little bit here in the wintertime? I know it's a little nippy up your way.
Yeah, it's really cold up there right now. It's snowing, and I just called home. I do a lot of work outside, so a lot of modular houses and double wides, and they said it's really cold.
You've been in and out of the pits quite a number of times here. You having a little trouble getting handled with this? You just kind of really tune it in really tight.
We're kind of tuning in, you know, the race, four and a lap race here, so I feel like it's kind of comfortable where it drives good and which we're getting a lot closer with it, so I don't know. It's only got three races on it. It's a new car, and we're still trying to figure a couple things out.
Looks like you got some good sponsors and stuff for Expand Angel Bank. Were you able to go this year to the little 500s? And you got some
Yeah, the car was brand new, the little 500, and actually ran second all the way up to about 20 to go. We ran a fuel and finished the test. But the car ran good there. The only time after that, we took it to IRP, and the steering was out of it, so I didn't get to run it there. So now we're down here, and
cool.
We're going to run these two races.
Will you approach a 400 lap, 3/8 mile track like you would a little 500 in some aspects?
Yeah, it's almost got the same characters to it, really. It's just a little bit longer straightaways, and not quite as banked. But it's almost like an Anderson, so we're gonna approach it the same way we did when we went there. And kind of, like I said, you know, my main thing is stay in the front and stay out of trouble. And four lap race, a lot of things can happen for you.
Oh yeah, but how many times do you think with this track you'll need to hit the pit?
We're gonna at least pit twice. I mean, we're not gonna be able to make it on one stop. We know that, so we're gonna have to get in here and pit twice. And we've got to tune the engine up, so we're trying to get it leaned out as much as we can, so we don't use much fuel.
There you go. Russ Gainster, ladies and gentlemen, getting ready to get it on at DeSoto Speedway with the Florida 400.
Always a great thing to get a chance to talk to Russ. We hope that we get to see him finish well in the 400 as he gets that car lined up and ready to go. Moving on down the pit lane a little later, I got a chance to get some guys together. There were three in the team, the car owner and the two drivers, who took time to talk to us. And this was Jimmy Brown out of Canada. Brought down two red number 55 cars, one of them for Jason Blonde. And he picked a local driver, Shane Butler, to help him get the handle on DeSoto Super Speedway. Shane Butler, of course, known from the TBARA and all the other racing he does around Central Florida. Jason Blonde, well-known driver in the Midwest races. But here's what they had to say about becoming teammates and winding up at DeSoto Super Speedway, getting prepared for the Florida 400.
Get here in DeSoto's pit as they get a practice day in before a big build-up here going on the 400 race here at DeSoto. Talking to Shane Butler. Shane Butler, runner in the TBARA. Everybody knows him from here in Central Florida. He's done a lot of other stuff. Shane, what all you been doing in 2006 to bring you to this point?
Well, we started out the season running for my brother Keith, and about halfway through that, we weren't doing good enough, so I had to part ways on good terms, though. Went and drove for Terry DeCare and had some good runs, just couldn't finish a bunch of races from misfortune, but we finished out the season 7th in points, so now we're down here to see if we can put this thing in the show.
When you say put this thing in the show, it looks like a number 55 red car out of some other state.
Actually, it's out of another country. It's from Canada. Jimmy Brown come down here with two cars, mainly for Jason Blonde. I got a call Tuesday that they wanted to put second car in the show, so we'll put it in the show and see what we can go from there.
Well, that's awesome, man. It looks like a nice ride and stuff down. Has this car only been running in the Canadian circuit of some type? Or?
Actually, no. It's been running with the Auto Value Super Sprints out of Michigan with the Wing 410 stuff. I spent summer a couple years ago running against a couple of these cars, and Jimmy was nice enough to let me drive it.
Well, that's awesome. Now, does he do like a lot of the guys who race in the States? Does Jimmy keep the cars in the States and don't take them back and forth across borders?
No, I'm not positive. I think he goes back and forth.
Yeah. A couple of guys that do a lot of racing in the state keep their cars here, especially some of the late model guys.
Yeah, Jimmy don't run, I don't think, a full schedule. He kind of hits and misses, so I think he takes it all back home.
It looks familiar, but I don't know if Jimmy run before himself.
That I'm not positive. I don't know that much about him.
That's a bit easier, too.
Yeah.
What are you looking for after this? Are you guys going to be able to take him on down the road whenever we finish here at 400 at DeSoto and go up to the PRI show and maybe go to Orlando? Or?
Well, I know my teammate Jason Bond there. I know they're going to go. But as far as me and the second car, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Well, we have to get Jason over here. I'll talk to him.
All right, we can do that.
Thank you.
All right,
standing here with Jason Blonde and
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown. Jason Blonde, now you're not blonde. I figured that would be the marketing technique that you would use, was to be blonded out. But yeah, you didn't do that. So.
It should have been, but my wife's not blonde either. I didn't work that out either.
So now you're from Michigan.
Yep.
And you got a co-teammate that's from Florida.
Yep.
And then your car owner comes from north of the border. He's from Canada. How did this all get put together?
Well, I drove for Jim for a couple of years now, so. And then we figured Shane here would give us the insight on the Soda Speedway, you know?
Oh, that's not bad. He's pretty good down here. He's pretty good down here. That Jim, coming out of Canada, do you take your cars back home with you all the way to Canada, or do you leave them at Jason's house?
No, we used to. We used to leave them at Jason's, but, you know, I find it easier for me. I do pretty much all the work on it, the motors and all that stuff. So, no, I take them home, and I've got a shop right at my house, and I work on them there. And this new car that he's running, we just built it in the last 2 months.
and load them all up and bring them down.
Well, now I got to ask, though, you must put some miles on your rig to get to all the racetracks and stuff that you might want to do, or do you do that many races a year?
Well, we used to run all of the auto value stuff. We didn't do it last year. I have a new lady in my life, so I was designating a little time to her, you know. So we didn't race quite as much last year, but you pretty much need a new tow rig about every 3 years.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's pretty awesome. Now, what part of Canada do you live in? Because we got a lot of Canadian listeners to my show because they come down from up north.
The closest big city is London, Ontario, which is about halfway between Toronto and Detroit, about 130, 40 miles of Toronto. It's about 120 miles of Detroit. We're right on the other side of Lake Erie, almost straight across from Cleveland is where we're from. So it's, we're 45 minutes from the U.S. border at Port Huron. So
now, have you in the past just run some of the Canadian series stuff up there?
I never had any luck running there at all. I started out running little local cars that we built ourselves up there, and what seemed to happen with it was as soon as you started winning, they kind of didn't want you too badly. So, and this is way back in the early 70s that I did that and drove myself. I decided that I should have something a little faster than what we were running, so I went and bought a Super Modified and went to Oswego, New York with it. For me to go to Oswego, New York, or Sandusky, Ohio, you go around the lake this way. To go to Oswego, New York, you go around the lake this way to go to Sandusky.
Right, yeah.
So we ran both those racetracks, and we run a lot of different things. I mean, it used to be as a friend of mine, he called me up and said, hey, there's a race out in Winchester, Indiana.
Go,
so we'd load up and we're gone.
Go where the money was a little bit.
Yeah, well,
we just
love to race.
That's fun. Now, had you ever come, long before you got into sprint car ownership, had you ever come down to Florida during the winter to race?
Oh, yeah. I came down here in the early 80s, and we ran a little quarter-mile track by St. Pete's over here. Sunshine Speedway. Wow. Yeah, great.
I used to love that place.
Yeah, actually, they were supposed to resurface the track that year. We come down. That was ISMA that I belonged to, which was the International Super Modified Association. And that was the Supers, and we run strictly wings with that. Now, Oswego was strictly a non-wing deal. I run both series throughout those years, and then Sandusky was a wing deal, so I run that. And
well, there'll be a lot of guys locally that will remember your name, because we got a lot of guys my age in the, that have spent all their years down here, you know, watching the Central Florida racing for sure, and then traveling a little bit. So they always like to know, and if I find a picture of you somewhere and put it on the internet, I'll do the trivia thing. We'll see if they actually recognize you.
Probably not anymore.
It's a lot of fun to see that stuff. Now, Jason, back on your side of the deal, a couple of years running the sprint. Have you run just strictly in wing, or have you done some wing sprint racing?
Well, pretty much all we did was wing stuff, you know, auto value super sprints. We only played with the non-wing just a little bit here and there with a little 500, you know, and maybe a USAC race here or there. But
how many years did you try the little 500?
It's probably 4 years. I've been trying that.
Yeah, cool. How you been doing?
My first year, I got rookie year was 15th place. That was the best I'd done. Those next 2 years, I ran south. So.
Well, it happens. Do you tend to have issues with the length of that race and keeping your concentration?
The first year, I didn't, because I really got paid for it, you know. At the end of the 500, I was ready for 500 more. But after that, I didn't make any mistakes. So about last 250, you know, you started getting a little tired and getting a little numb. But
now, this is a much bigger track here in DeSoto, almost 3/8 or so. You can kind of go with this and approach it a little differently than you would a little 500?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Just do the same as what you would in a little 500, you know.
Well, you got to have two cars running. Are you going to try to crew and fuel and do everything with the same batch of people for both?
Hey, we'll see how much help we get.
Oh, okay.
We're pretty short of help right now.
Pretty short of help. All right. We need everybody that can do this and help out in the pit area. If you want to come on down and talk to the 55 team, they might be able to hook you up. You ain't going to get paid nothing but a cheeseburger, maybe, but at least you get a chance to get in and have some fun. Mail and a Budweiser afterwards. There we go. That was a free Bud. Now you're in trouble. You're going to have more people know what to do with it. But it's awesome to have you guys down. We appreciate it. We're glad to see you guys come from up north, and we know it's a great time to be down here. Look, right now, I don't know if you can get it back through the snow that I hear is happening in the mid-states there, but it's awesome to have you guys down. We appreciate you coming down and hanging out with us, and hopefully have a good run. We hope everybody has a good run. No problem. Jason Blond and Jim Brown, ladies and gentlemen, look for them at DeSoto Speedway this weekend in the 400. They're going to try to line it up. Maybe they'll go 1-2, maybe 21-22. Who knows? We'll see when they get there.
Well, you can never go wrong when you walk a little further down the pit and you run into the man himself, the legend, and that would be none other than Jack Hewitt. Jack Hewitt, always a great guy to talk to. He brought his two-seat sprint car out for the day's activities at DeSoto Super Speedway. Well, I can't remember. I think he gave probably maybe only eight, but there was a bunch of them to a lot of the media folks who wanted to go for a ride. A young lady from Bay News 9 went for a ride and got a little shaken up when she came out of that vehicle. But one of the best rides of the day, it seemed to be, was a young man who was from the Bradenton Herald. His name was Scott Lockwood. We got a chance to talk to Scott right after we got finished talking to Mr. Hewitt himself and his driver, Brian Tyler, one of the best wheels in the nation. And he's down in Florida getting ready to do absolutely nothing, apparently, unless somebody comes along and wants to give him a ride, because he has no deal for this finish to the 2006 season, but he's sure looking for one. And if you're interested in a really great driver who can set up a car and just about teach anybody how to drive one of these asphalt sprinters without a wing on it, he's the man to talk to. So kick back and relax. This is a good one with Jack Hewitt and Brian Tyler.
Hey, we're standing here in the pit. Anything you want, Jack. This is the internet radio, buddy. This, you can get away.
Okay.
You can go from God to prostitution. All
that'll work. That's all in the Bible there.
There you go. We just wanted to touch base with you a little bit. Glad to see you out. You got the two-seater out. You haven't had it out too many times this year. We talked about that earlier, but what are you looking for coming up in 2007? You said you're going to get to do a little bit more.
Well, I think we've got a couple sponsors lined up for the insurance deal. The insurance has just went up so high with it, and by doing that, we hope to get more charities involved. And what we found out at the fairground, the county fairground, with the old half-mile dirt that are sit there dormant all year long, we involve a charity, and it's promoting our sport in a different way because people come out for the charity. They don't come out for the race car. And what happened, they think, oh, my gosh, if one that exciting, we got to go see what 20's like, you know. So I think it's promoting our sport, you know, the charity wins, and hopefully the community does, because it just gets them excited. They hear the noise, and it's something different.
Well, everybody's always excited to see you're still hanging around the sport, doing what you can to put, give something back after all the years you had so much fun doing it. So many big highlights in your career and stuff. Brian, having the same kind of thing here, buddy. Brian driving the car for you, and this is one of the raciest, best racers out there, and he's walking around looking for a ride, so it got me really confused. Brian, what's been up, man? What happened in 2006 for you to wind up kind of sandbagging it and looking for something to do?
Well, 2006 was a good year for me, and I had a deal coming into this, and the guys from Indiana couldn't get off from work in time to make it to this one and do next week, too, so... You know, they kind of pulled the plug on me at the last second. So we're here today looking for a ride, and Jack had a two-seater here, so it got me some laps on the track. In case I do find something tomorrow, I'll be all set.
Now, have you considered, Jack, that if he's available, you could actually put this car in the race, I hear, because it's legal in every way.
Yeah, but he said that he wants to go to 400 laps, and we don't have no pit stop strategy, nothing. We got a small thing, so he's looking for a real ride.
Anyway, I know it's a lot of fun, but how much fun is it, Brian, to get these guys or girls out here, get them in a car that they probably never get the opportunity to get into again, and show them a little bit of fun, and really, you hunker down and get with it, so they get to get a good ride.
You give everybody the same ride, whether they're 16 or 60. I mean, you take them out, you give them a good thrill, you show them what it's about, and now they got to try to imagine what it'd be like to sit out there for 400 laps doing that same thing, because after three, they come in, they can't hardly breathe, their hands are shaking, their eyes are real big and watering, and so, you know, it's real exciting, and to be able to do this and with Jack and stuff is, you know, means a lot. And, you know, when I was a little psyched and running around, I was looking up to him. He was my, you know, one of my heroes. So, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. There used to be a lot of people running around little go-karts in their yard going, I'm Jack Hewitt today, and you can be whoever you want to be. But it's pretty neat, though, this two-seater deal. I know you'll have it out. Somebody's going to win one on the radio. I think WQYK, one of our local stations, running that for you. And that somebody will win a ride in this thing, so the people who come out to see the race on Saturday will actually get a chance to see it and what it does, and then maybe next year they'll get a chance to get back this way, they'll get a chance to get a ride themselves.
Well, hopefully maybe we can get something tied in. We'd like to actually get a radio or something, we can talk to Schrader, one of them, and let them, when they come up with that crate motor deal, maybe if they want to take a ride and win a ride with Kenny. I don't know if we can, I haven't talked to Bondendorf yet, but, and I'd like to get a day, like they, maybe we can get a charity while I'm down here all winter and get a charity involved and go to East Bay, because as nice as it is here on the pavement, get to heck with dirt cars.
Oh, yeah, no, I did that 3 years ago. I did the dirt ride, and that was awesome, and I had such a good time and enjoyed it so much. But it is a neat thing, and so it's good to hear. You're going to go to East Bay for their free metal deal and
we're going to watch, absolutely. Yeah. And we went to Orlando last year, and I would probably watch paint dry before I go back over there, you know. I just, not bad mouthing, but the racing sucks, you know. And the best race was the Focus, I think, and those, whatever those other cars are.
The drifters.
I can't say it was a total waste last year, but I go watch Kenny and whoever else in the late miles over East Bay this year.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys can show up for that one and sneak in on them.
There's
some pretty good names out of NASCAR and other sanctioning bodies. But that's awesome. Last but not least, Brian, between the dirt and the asphalt, you got a preference either way? Or you
it don't matter to me. You know, I like dirt. I like pavement. I was born and raised on the dirt, and, you know, the last 6 years, I probably had better success on the pavement.
I think Kenny Wallace was at that one.
Doing it for a living, you got to go wherever you can make the most money.
Well, that's it, man. Well, we hope that somebody wakes up and realizes that there's a good shoe sitting out here that needs a good ride. And I know a lot of people are bringing a lot of new people on board. It's good to see new blood coming into the sport and getting into sprint cars and so forth. But sometimes we wonder what they're thinking when they don't use a guy like yourself to either just get the car set up for them and help them out and stuff like that. And you do that now. I hear for like $500 a day or something, you'll spend time with people and help them set up a car for, you know, whatever track they're trying to run it.
Yeah, about two or three times a year, I'll either fly to Indianapolis or up to Memphis. Some different teams have hired me to come and work with kids that are just getting started on the pavement, giving them seat time. You know, I get to talk with them and set a car up real loose, and then I set it up real tight. And, you know, I make them change their lines just to learn about the pavement and what to do and when to do it. And, you know, everybody thinks that $500 is kind of high, but, you know, I've been doing it 25 years, and what I can teach them in one day, they can't learn in 3 years. So, you know, it's fun. You know, I enjoy it. And most of the time, by the time I'm done, they've realized that, you know, that wasn't too much.
Well, we'll make an ad up for the Brian Tyler School of Racing, and we'll see what we can do for you there.
There you go. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, Jack, good to see you back, buddy. You take care of yourself, and I know you're going to hang out with all the old family friends and neighbors down here in Florida for a while. And you've been fishing again, I heard, off the cuff there. How's the fishing going?
Well, I just got down, so I haven't been fishing down here. I've been fishing up at Prison Dennis's place up at Indian Lake in Ohio. But we're fixing to get started down there, you know. Bill and I, we fish quite a bit through the summer or through the winter, so we're here 6 out of 7 days, I hope.
All right. Now, Brian, I got to ask you a technical question. Do you think anybody that practices this late between 4:30 and 6 as the sun goes down, good tour, would have any advantage over anybody that's not practicing in the evening?
I wouldn't say so.
Qualifying is going to be tomorrow night and then the race is Saturday evening.
Yeah, I don't think this track probably tightens up like the ones do up north. The tracks in Florida seem to be a little bit slipperier, and they seem to stay slippery, you know, day or night. You know, when the dew comes in down here, sometimes in the evening the tracks are even worse than they are during the day. So, you know, it's just a matter of having the car right at the right time.
Yeah, ask Jack. At least at this one, you don't have to worry about the tide coming in.
Yeah.
Thanks a bunch, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, those guys are always entertaining. It's great to talk to them. And we turned right around and went over and talked to Scott Lockwood before he rolled out for his opportunity to go in that two-seater sprint car. So we'll give you that next. And then you can also, not only did I get some of the laps that he was making, but when he came back in, he's got a whole different attitude. Check it out.
Bill Green, Short Track America. You're getting ready to get into the two-seater sprint car. You work for the Braves and Herald. Tell us your name.
Scott Lockwood.
Scott Lockwood. Why are you doing this?
You know, being an Indianapolis native, it's always been being around speed and being around racing and racetrack. And I've always wanted to, this is kind of a dream come true, being able to go out here in an open-wheel car and just throw a speedway and take some fast laps. Really is.
Okay, Scott. So you're going to go out there and run these laps. Brian Tyler's going to take you around here in Jack Hewitt's car.
Right.
And we're going to see what you have to say about it afterwards, okay?
All right, we can do that.
All right. Yep.
Thank you.
incredible. That's probably one of the coolest things I've ever done. So I'd be able to go at speed like that, man, that was great.
Get your dick hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jack Hewitt always trying to add a little humor. I love it that I'm on the internet because we're going to keep that, Jack.
The girls like the Nomex.
She was taking pictures of you this morning.
Well, she was, huh? There you go.
Sure, what's up? It's awesome, I know, to get out there and do it. The sensation of speed, you don't really realize until he stands on the first time. What do you think? We really kicked it.
The first time he stood on it going out of two like that behind you. But after we got the three and he kept the speed going, you know, realizing that this guy is in total control, man, it was awesome. I mean, you had the eyes open. I was like, come on, let's go faster. I mean, it was incredible.
Did you see how fast things really go by?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
It was like I was driving a car in a video game. I zeroed in on the track, keep on going, and watch the line, it was amazing and everything.
You can imagine then what it's like for these guys to get out there 33 or 32 cars at a time and do it for 400 laps.
Oh, I'd love to do that, man. I think it'd be great.
To keep the concentration that long is amazing for a lot of these guys, but it's a pretty neat deal. Well, we're glad you enjoyed it. We hope we get to read a little bit about it in the break of the air, all right?
Yeah, you'll read about it in tomorrow morning today.
All right, well, you'll be hearing about it on Short Track America tonight.
All right, thank you very much.
Goes on, man.
Well, we hope that you get out to DeSoto Super Speedway this weekend. Friday-Saturday show with Friday qualifying and Saturday having the 400-lap Florida 400. Look forward to seeing you there. And don't forget, Wednesday night, next week, you can drive over to USA International Speedway and see the PBA, big cars, as they come to town and bring their show into the big track, as we like to call it around here, USA International Speedway. Thanks so much for listening to Short Track America's special edition of Inside Florida Racing, preparing for the DeSoto Speedway Florida 400.
This family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair. But in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.